Our Bible reading is just a few short verses in Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, and then verses 44 to 49. If you have a title in your Bible, it will be simply The Death of Jesus. Knowing it was about noon, a darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM. For the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this saw the sight that took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him in Galilee, stood at the distance watching these things. May God help us to understand the word that he's brought to us tonight. If I was to give this sermon tonight a title, it would be Reunion. It's not mine, I pinched it off my son actually. Reunion. And that's what it's all about. Because we have that tremendous cry from Jesus. We've had 6 of his sayings already over these weeks. And then final one that we have here. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Tremendous words. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It's possible for him to commit his spirit in the hands of God because God was his father. And he's going to have this wonderful reunion. "Father, into your hands, I'm coming." 3 headings I want us to look at this evening. First is something of the uniqueness of our Lord's death. And the word "commit," of course, really means lay down. And of course it makes sense, because lay down makes it clear that Jesus' death was voluntary. Nobody took his life from him. Jesus was handing his spirit, his life. He was handing his spirit and his life over to his Father. John's account, of course, records that when the soldiers came to check, they found that Jesus was dead. He really died. The Son of God really died on a cross at Calvary. Physically, he died. And that's something of a tremendous importance. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the maker of the universe. We're talking about who reigns on high. He physically died on a cross. What did he say? "The reason my Father loves me is because I laid down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. This is the command I've received from my Father," he said. And in Acts 2, Paul says, "This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge." This wasn't an accident. This wasn't something that wasn't supposed to happen. This wasn't something that the Romans had just demanded should happen. Jesus laid down his life. And it was all part of God's plan. Deliberate plan and foreknowledge. The uniqueness of our Lord's death is something absolutely tremendous, isn't it? Nobody else could do this. Nobody else could have done that. Only our Lord and Saviour Jesus. The Lord was unique in his birth, of course, as we know. He was unique in his life and he was unique in his death. Nobody else has done this. And nobody ever will. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Tremendous words of confidence. And surely this is one of the greatest realities of the Christian faith. He became a curse for us. He became a sacrifice. He became a scapegoat. He did it for us. And we have that tremendous word there in verse 45. For the sun stopped shining. This isn't just some afterthought here. This is a deliberate, purposeful plan of God. For the sun stopped shining. Why did God put Jesus in darkness? Have you ever wondered that? Why the darkness? Was it because Jesus had been made a curse for us? He was becoming a debtor for sin? He was a sacrifice? The word for is very, very important. I came across this lovely quote. He said this: God could not look upon his son because he was the sacrifice of our sin, and he alone could enter the darkness for me and you. So he cries out to the Father, stretch out your hands, Lord, into your hands. I want to commend my spirit. Having paid the price for sin, dealt with sin on a cross, defeated Satan, where else would he want to be? In the Father's arms. What a reunion that must have been, eh? And again, we have a pattern here. We speak of the cross, not only the price for our sin and that he saved us from that sin. And it seems to me, so often we look back and say, this is what he saved us from, the penalty of sin and all that awfulness of hell and death. And but what has he saved us for? Have you ever thought of that? What has he saved us for? Yes, we talk often about, he saved us from my sin, he saved us from Satan, but what to? Well, he saved us that we might enter into the tremendous blessing of knowing God as our Father, knowing our spirit one day will be reunited there. The blessing of forgiveness, of repentance, a new heart, justification, just as if I'd never sinned. Adoption into the family of God. Glorification, an inheritance incorruptible, a likeness to Jesus, a place in heaven reserved for us. Yes, he saved us from sin, but look at all the things he saved us to. All these tremendous blessings. We see Spurgeon who said, he saved us from sin to blessings. From sin to blessings. I must remember that on this Easter Sunday. Yes, we praise God that his son became a sacrifice. Took on the cross all our sin. He did it that we might be forgiven, receive forgiveness and acceptance. But he saved us so that we could be adopted into the family of God and to know what it is to have a heavenly presence. To know what it is to have a walk with God day by day. All these wonderful blessings that are ours. My point is that Jesus was anticipating that we who put our trust and faith in him shall experience also the joy that was set before him. The same joy that was set before the Saviour as he goes back into his Father's hands in heaven is the same joy that is ours. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, really? Jesus was commending his spirit into the loving and welcoming hands of his Father. And that's the destination of you and me. If we trust Jesus, we're going to the same place. One day we too will be taken up into the hands of God, into his presence. He entered into the joy of the Lord, we're told. And isn't that something worth being saved for? Yes, to be forgiven of sins, to know it is, to be accepted by a holy God because of the sacrifice of Christ, that we might experience blessing upon blessing, joy upon joy, an eternal inheritance in heaven. So when Jesus cries out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," same confident cry that David gave in Psalm 31. "Into your hands I commit my spirit, deliver me, my Lord, my faithful God." It's the same cry, and it's the same cry that you and I are able to do. And the thing I have to ask, of course, is, it's a tremendous confidence, but do you have that confidence? Do you have that confidence that because of Jesus, you can know what it is to be accepted by a loving God because of his Christ's sacrifice, and to know the walk with him every day of your life, and then walk straight into heaven with all the countless blessings? You know, there's very little said about heaven. You read a bit in Revelation, of course, about gold. Well, it's all the precious metals in this world, ornaments in heaven. You read it. Streets paved with gold. Who would want gold? Loads of everybody wants gold. Walk upon gold in heaven. It's just a pavement. Because what we're saying is blessings beyond blessings, more than you can imagine on this earth. And that's what Jesus went to. And that's where you and I go to. And that's the uniqueness of his death. But then we notice something of the authority of the Lord. Jesus called out with a loud voice. Do you know, by this time, most crucifixions had had a devastating effect on the one who's been crucified. By this time, most had bowed their head and could hardly speak. Could hardly breathe, trying to draw breath as a whole weight and pressure on her chest and everything. I'm told it was impossible. Jesus didn't just speak. He cried out. And the idea is that he shouted, "Father." This isn't a weakness or a meekness. This is power. The voice of one who is sovereign. Sovereign over death and crucifixion. Jesus spoke and then he surrendered his spirit. And if it's sometime you read through, several miracles took place then, you know. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, Matthew 27. Graves were opened, some of the saints' resurrection. Earthquake took place, darkness came. All of evidence of the fact that God was at work here. And every spiritual blessing that comes to us through the work of Christ on the cross, every victory of faith, every joy that's set before us is because of Jesus crying out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Good Friday, of course, is followed by Easter Sunday. That's why it's lovely to sing these wonderful resurrection hymns. We know physically his body didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the tomb. He spoke. He was seen alive. People asked him questions. He allowed people to touch him. He was victorious over physical death. Of course he was. He rose again. Grave couldn't hold him. But at the end of his life, of course, he'd given up his spirit. Because he knew where he was going, into the Father's hands. And the question we have to ask is, when we die, and we all will one day, where are we going? Where are we going? Have you ever thought about it? Got years yet. Don't know, dear, really. When that time comes, where are you going? And based on the word of God, I know where I'm going. I'm going straight into the presence of God. With all the blessing and glory that means. A life beyond measure. Because life has two options, doesn't it, really? One is indestructibly fearful end. But the other is the same destination that Jesus went. Into the arms of his loving Father. John 14, he says this. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. And the way to the place where you are going, you can come too, of course. And then he says in chapter 10, of course, it's a lovely, we know this, of course, those of us, won't we? 27 and 28, we read this. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. You know, if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we often talk about a double grip. You're in the hand of Christ, who is in the hand of God. And Jesus says, nobody can get you out of that. Satan, with all his power, all the influence of the world and everything, nobody can get through that double grip. That's the confidence we have in Christ. The last word of Jesus on the cross were words of victory. He'd completed the work that the Father had given him to do. He'd done all that was asked of him. He'd done all the miracles, all the parables, all the teaching. He'd suffered. He knew what it was to be disappointed and let down. He knew what it was to be misunderstood. He did tremendous healing, miracles. He was cruelly beaten and put on a cross. But he rose again. And he did all that for you and for me. For you and for me. And then, having done all that, Father, into your hands, that reunion. The very heart of the gospel, our Lord came in the world to give us a gift of eternal life. And that's why he was able to say that. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. He died. So we have the uniqueness of the Lord, we have the authority of the Lord, and lastly, something that came to me. You know, we can know the presence of God in every situation. It came to me as I was reading this. Jesus went through a victorious death. And through faith and trust in him, of course, we've already said, we can know forgiveness, we can have the assurance of eternal life, the loving presence of the Heavenly Father. And because of the great relationship between God the Father and God the Son, even at the hour of great suffering, God was there. God was there. Jesus knew the presence of God at all times, through his pain, through his suffering. And it reminds me, of course, that if we're a believer tonight, we can know that when we go through trials and difficulties and pain and suffering, not to the extent that Jesus went through, but you know, life gets tough sometimes, and there are trials, there are sufferings and disappointments, but if we're a believer, God is there with us. God is with the same God that was there with Jesus on the cross, is with us day by day, no matter what we have to go through. And this fellowship with God, of course, depends on the heart relationship with him, of course. And like Christ cried here in the midst of this terrible situation, he cried it with confidence. And it's a reassuring thing, isn't it? as we seek to live out our Christian lives with all the problems and difficulties and all the heartaches and sometimes disappointments that come upon us and the sin that so often besets us, God is only a prayer away. Only a prayer away. And not only that, he's active in our lives, making us more like Jesus. Paul prayed in the middle of a storm. Daniel prayed in a lion's den. Paul and Silas prayed in a stinking jail. But they knew that God was there. Now we might never have to be in a stinking jail, hope not, or the lion's den. But sometimes it feels like that. But God is there. God is with us. And he's only a prayer away. And Jesus sets us an example here with trust and confidence to call on God no matter what we're going through. He knew that God the Father was there. And he's with us. Whatever we go through. And sometimes going through brings us to a deeper relationship with God, doesn't it? Sometimes the harder the sacrifice, the deeper the relationship becomes at times. And maybe it's the hardest sin perhaps we've had to endure or go through or have done. Sometimes it brings us closer to God. Jesus said, Father, uniquely because he was the Son. But because of the cross, and because of trust and redemption Christ has brought to us, we too can say, Father. And that's a wonderful privilege. Father. Who would dream of talking to God and saying, Father? It's an intimate expression, isn't it? Father. He died, rose again. If we put our faith and trust in him, we receive salvation and forgiveness for our sins, and we're able to say, Father. Fancy being able to talk to God like that, eh? Father. And to be in the hands of the Father, of course, is the greatest security we can possibly know. The greatest security we can possibly know is to be able to say, Father, at any time, Father. John said, my Father which gave, or Jesus said, my Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and nobody will pluck them out of my hand. Are you in the hand of Jesus tonight? Father, is your Father? Nothing in this world can destroy you. This isn't wishful thinking. It's a glorious and eternal fact based upon the word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But whoever believes in Jesus shall never perish, but have everlasting life. So, this Easter time, as believers, every spiritual blessing we have comes from the death of Christ. The wonderful relationship we have in that we're able to say intimately, Father, is because of Jesus on the cross. We enter God's presence in worship and prayer because Jesus rose from the dead. And as we meet here tonight, he is with us by his Spirit. If we've been identified with Christ in his death and resurrection, we have a new life, a new walk, and we are safe in the Father's hands. Because one day, we'll walk straight there into heaven. One minute here, next minute in glory. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they will follow me. I will give them eternal life. They will never perish. And nobody will take them out of my hand. Are you in the hand of Jesus tonight? Are you in the hand of Christ? You trusted and believed in him because of all that he did on that first Good Friday and Easter Sunday. He died for your sin. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. But I know that you love me and you care for me. I know that you did all this for me. I want to trust you and walk with you. And the moment you do that, you have the wonderful assurance, and many will testify to this, a wonderful assurance that no matter what, I know where I'm going. That assurance, of course, is what everybody's looking for, but we'll only find it in Christ. When he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, that's the future of every believer in Jesus. Again, just one sentence from C.H. Spurgeon. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. It's a prepared place, but are you prepared? Those famous words, if not, why not?